KCU presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers, so I know how this stuff works. Peach.
Hey, Todd, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, BJ.
Of course, Todd comes from BECU, and you know, the cool thing about BECU as a credit union is they do a lot of cool stuff that banks don't and do all the good stuff that you want to do. The stuff you don't like, credit unions go, yeah, we're not going to do that. But man, if you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, you qualify for BECU. All the info at BECU.org. And Todd, we appreciate you being here. Todd always answers whatever questions you have, whether you get us at 206-421-ROCK or text us at 7799.
Oh, we're getting a bunch of texts already, BJ. Someone said, I'm a self-employed in my fifth year of business. I'm 30 years old. I haven't started a retirement fund yet. What would be the best route of investment for me to take this late in the ball game of my career?
Ooh, how old did the person say?
30.
Oh, it's not that late in your career. I mean, you still got time. Wow.
Yeah, and that's not late at all, right? I mean, if you're serious and getting going at 30, hey, I have no problem with that. I mean, obviously, the earlier the better, but God, most people are in their 40s or 50s before they get serious about it. So,
hey, don't look at me, okay? Stop looking at me, Todd.
Oh, I'm not mentioning any names, BJ.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man.
but is there, I guess, if he's self-employed and you're just your own individual, there are they're called SEPs. I'm not extremely familiar with them, but self-employed, I don't know what their pension programs or whatever. I'm not extremely familiar with them, so I would like to look into that for the if you have more than one employee, what that might look like, or talk to somebody. If it's just yourself, then you're going to be kind of limited to the IRA, which I think is $6,500 a year. This is a very good question that I'm not asked very often. So I would like to look it up a little bit. If you are self-employed, what the SEP might look like, what your options are as an individual. Obviously, I know you can do a minimum of that $6,500 into a Roth or, the traditional IRA.
Yeah, because, you know, Todd, because if you get a 401k from a company, man, they let you, what was it, 19 grand they let you put in there?
Yeah, I think it's 19.5 this year. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that would be nice if they offered something like that for somebody who was self-employed. Because, like you
that's
said,
why I want to look into this a little bit, BJ. I don't want to steer anybody wrong, but I believe there is the SEP program. I don't know what the qualifications are for that, so I'd like to look into that a little bit more.
All right. Well, and you can always email Todd too. So if you, so the idea being is just click on the banner, which is on KISW.com. You scroll down, you'll see Todd's smiling face. So, the texter, you can just email Todd and go, hey, it's me. Do you have any more information about that self-employment thing?
And I will definitely get it. So if you would please email me, I will reach out to the right folks that have that expertise and find out for you.
It's Todd Peach from BECU.org, over 25 years in the financial business. And, man, Todd's been helping out a lot of folks for years here on The Rock. If you got any financial questions at 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999.
So I want to know, is using balance transfers between credit cards to keep interest low or at 0% for long periods, will this damage my credit?
Well, let's look at what's involved in your credit score. So number one is paying on time. That's 35% of your score is just paying on time every month. 30% of your score is what's called your utilization. That's your outstanding balance in relation to your credit score. Then another 10 to 15% is going to be new credit. And this is where your balance transfer is going to come into play. And then time is another factor that you really can't control. But that's about 10%. Is just time. And then the type of credit is the last factor. So if you're gonna open new credit, certainly when you open those new credit lines, there's gonna be an initial hit. If you're not paying on time, that's gonna be a hit. So I guess the long and short of it is a balance transfer to a zero credit offer, if you will, can be an okay idea, but let's look at the real issue, and the real problem is, why don't we have that paid off? Why are we having to transfer the balance from one credit card to another?
206-421-ROCK, Texas at 77999. We're talking to Todd Peach from BECU.org. Any questions at all for Todd? And Todd, I got a quick one, man. Only just because, look, the stock market has been taking a beating. You know, people want to save their money. And right now, I can imagine a lot of people are scared to put their money into some account that has any sort of even stock and bonds, whatever. I mean, it's been brutal. I myself have said I really just cannot look at my retirement accounts right now because I will drive myself crazy.
Yeah.
What are you telling people who will be like, you know, blank that, you know, especially when the real estate market seems like, oh, everybody's like, hey, maybe I should go there because that's going crazy. Mm-hmm. So how do we stay sane in all this and still have confidence to do these retirement accounts?
Well, do you like to buy things on sale, BJ?
I do, yes.
I like paying full price personally.
Yeah, Steve really likes to pay full price. He doesn't feel he's getting a good deal if he pays.
In the long run, we know that the market goes up. You're always going to have bumps in the road, and this is not uncommon that we get a 10 or 20% or what was it? If you go back just a little over 2 years ago, we were at 35% down. So if just like, I think the best advice, I think you nailed it on the head. Just stick with it. Don't open your statements. Don't worry about it. If you're in it for the long run, now is a great time to continue to buy. So stick with your plan. If you have your plan, stick with it. If you don't have a plan, now might be a time to reach out to an advisor. But some of the worst things you can do is to sell when the market is going down, because we don't know when it's coming back up or how fast it's going to come back up. So if you got that plan, I would stick to it and know that this is a good time to be buying. So you're getting more for your money.
Todd, you'll be proud of me. I waited a week to purchase some outdoor furniture, and it turned out that the 20% sale at Target went to 30%.
Whoa!
Wow. Man, I was like, I can't
wait. But if you just wait a little bit longer, it'll be 50% in August.
I want to sit in it in June.
Oh, wow.
Huh? You hear about, you thought you were a guy, and Todd's like, you could have done better, pal.
Dude, that all crossed my mind. I'm like, do I wait another week? Could it go down to 40%?
Oh, it's a tough one.
I'll keep you posted.
Hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right?
So I did. And I did it. And it shows up today, and I couldn't be more excited for this beautiful rainy weather to sit outside.
Yeah, congratulations on your purchase, sir. 206-421-ROCK, Texas at 77999. Talking to Todd Peach from BECU. Derek in Tacoma, you are on the Rock.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Morning, Derek. What you got for Todd?
So, Todd, my question for you is, I got out of the military in 2014, ended up buying a house with a VA loan, and since then, it has acquired close to $80,000 of equity due to the market. My question is, we have about $20,000 to $25,000 worth of credit card debt. Should we cash out, refinance, to consolidate that credit card debt, pay it off, and then just continue to pay on the home loan?
Mm-hmm. How did you get the credit card debt, Derek? What's the story behind that?
It carried over originally from when I was in the military. So a lot of bad planning, had horrible credit expenses. Before I got out of the military, I was sitting at like a 570 credit score, and now I'm getting back up there to a low 700s, but just now would like to erase that credit card debt and continue to keep it off.
Okay. Are you married, it sounds like, you and your wife?
Oh, yeah, we're married. Okay. It's the wife and I and the four kids.
Okay. Have you talked to your wife, or have you guys put together kind of like a family budget? When I say that, I mean, you know what your income is and, you know, where the money is going, how much you have left up over every month, how much you're paying that down. Have you guys talked about that? So you kind of know, in other words, are you living below your means, if you will?
Right now, we have budgeted out. By no means are we living below our means. We are actively putting money in a savings account right now on top of paying the credit card bills. Just There's some like at 17-18% that when we make our payment and make a little bit above the minimum payment, it's pretty much exactly where it was the previous month because of the interest, and it's just a repeating. Okay, we paid it, but now it's exactly where it was before we paid it.
Okay. So here's what, if you wouldn't mind doing this, if you happen to be a BEC member, let me know or go to our website. We use a service called GreenPath. They're an accredited nonprofit credit counseling agency. Outside of that, if you're not a member, that's totally fine. Just go to the National Foundation for Credit Counselors, nfcc.org. Call them up and get your wife and get an appointment with them. Walk through what your, you know, what your expenses look like, budget. They're going to help you, you know, get on the right path. We need to get to the point where you could live below your means. Because, yes, does it make sense to, you know, take out a loan from an interest rate perspective to create that, pay that credit card off? Absolutely. It's going to be much less. However, we don't want to get ourselves in the same spot where we're using the home as the ATM. So I would like to, you know, work with a credit counseling agency first. Let's come up with a plan, and then they can tell you and talk to you about that, you know, what if that makes sense to go ahead and take that home equity loan and pay that credit card debt off. But let's just put a plan together, focus on that, and get that paid off as soon as we can.
206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. Tanya in Olympia, you are on with Todd Peach from BECU.org. Go ahead.
Hey there, guys. Yeah, so I have some properties up in Alaska that actually are family properties, but I am I am getting $100,000. Eventually, there'll probably be more money.
All right, well, Tanya,
party at Tanya's house.
Can you adopt, would you like to adopt somebody right now with that?
Well, I'm trying to get ahead at my old years of, or young years of 44. So anyways, I just refinanced my house. I owe $126,000 on it. With this $100,000, I didn't know if I should pay most of that loan down and off, or if I should invest into a second property with that.
That's a good question. I guess as far as paying off the home, that's one question. I am not, I guess there's a lot of other things, Tanya, that we want to take a look at before we decide we want to pay that, you know, use that $100,000 for another investment or to pay off the mortgage. But, let's go through the order. Do you have an emergency fund put away? Yes. Are you saving for retirement? Are you on track for that? Do you have other goals that you want to pay off? Are you out of debt? So these are things that we want to look at, and we want to make sure that we're on track for before we even think about investing in some sort of a rental property.
Right. I'm ahead on all of that, actually. My husband has a really wonderful 401k that he's been investing in for 13 years. Like I said, we only owe the $126,000 now on the house, and we just have this extra capital, and I just, you know, somebody had said that's one of the cheapest loans you'll ever get is your house loan. So maybe invested into something else. And so, you know, old school thinking is hurry up and pay everything off so it's yours. You know, I don't know if that's old school thinking, but, you know, make sure it's yours. And, you know, then you can start paying, you know, investing in other things. And I don't know if that's still true or if you have to look at, like you said, what your, you know, portfolio is.
Yeah, no, like Tanya said, I mean, I think, you know, being mortgage free is not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. You don't have that. But I think you can, I think what you're saying is that you're willing to take a little bit of risk, and invest that $100,000 into something else, knowing that you have $125,000 in debt on the home, but you're saying that you feel comfortable that I can make more money in another investment, from an interest rate perspective and a return perspective than what I'm paying on that debt. And that could be a rental property. It could be investing in the stock market. It could be something else.
Okay. Yes.
And Todd, is there a way to figure out how much interest you'll pay off on your house? Like, she knows how much she owes, and then she figures, okay, when will I have it paid off? And maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's longer. Is there a way to figure out how much interest you would save by just basically paying it off now as opposed to paying it off normally and then seeing if that's a worthwhile amount of money to save?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's you could just, your lender should have that and actually should be part of the amortization schedule. Or you could just go to the internet and you can type, pull up amortization schedule, put in the numbers and your interest rate, and it'll spit it right out for you, BJ. But
yeah, that's,
I mean, right now, interest rates, if you're in that 3% range, 3.5%, you know, now mortgages are upward in 5%. We're going to get inflation, so everything's going to go up. So you should, in the long term, be able to make more money than what you're paying in interest on the loan.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah.
So if you want to reach out to me, or just we could chat. I think this is a good conversation to talk to with an advisor. Somebody, it doesn't necessarily cost you anything, but kind of run through, okay, what do I have in my 401k? Am I on track for that? Then kind of bounce us off of other people for their input. Obviously, if you do invest in a rental property, there's work and risk there for you. So you want to understand all what you're getting yourself into before you really jump in.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about talking to somebody who's a financial advisor. You find out the kind of investor you are. Like you said, Todd, how do I want to make my money grow, and how active do I want to be in that process?
Yeah.
And if you have any questions, if you didn't get through on the phone lines, you can go to KISW.com, scroll down, and you'll see the banner with Todd's smiling face. Click on that, and he'll answer any email that he possibly can. Todd, as usual, man, it's been awesome. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Likewise, BJ. Thanks so much.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.